It's set up there, I'm Elder Chuck Baumgartner, for a little while longer. Somehow Tom kind of seems to grab me for the first, or for the last message of the year. And I don't know, I think it's been three or four times I've stood up here like the last Sunday of a year, and I've never done anything like a New Year's kind of a theme, or old year, new year, whatever. And this time, probably still won't, but it may be closer than I've got before, because I'm going to get a lot of a little kind of a new slant on an old topic. Because I think everybody in here who's been around church for any time has probably heard at least one or 10 messages on the Ten Commandments.
Not again.
And when I told Tom the topic that I felt like God was putting on my heart, he said, "You're going to do what?" I said, "Yeah, I'm going to do the reverse Ten Commandments." So this is going to be a different slant on the Ten Commandments you've heard over and over again. Only it's going to be some you've never heard of before. Because it's really going to be a little bit more like what the world says are the commandments that we live by nowadays. And I'm not so sure that they're so great. So I'm going to kind of bounce back and forth between the ones we all know and the ones we've never heard of before. And I think by the end of this, I'm hoping that we can make a decision about which ones we would rather have operating in our life. Because, well, I'll let them speak for themselves. So I want to open with a word of prayer, because I'm going to need it. I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning, so not working on the message. My daughter, by Cindy here, visited with us for the last 10 days, a week or so, and we had to take her back to the airport this morning. She needed to be down there around 5, so we left the house a little after 4 and drove down in the rain, and then we came back, and it was too late to take any more naps, so I've been on the go for a little while, and God's kept me vertical through all that, so I'm praying I stay vertical. I think I can blame the weather on my voice, or my voice on the weather, one or the other, because if you may notice, I don't sound exactly like I usually do, which may be a blessing or maybe not. We'll see how that goes. But we'll open with a word of prayer, and then we'll see what God has for us. Father God, I just lift you up today, Lord God, to ask you, Father, to give me the exact words that I need to speak, Lord. That this message, Father, would be what you'd have me to hear, what you'd have me to speak forth, what you'd have each one of us to hear. Lord, open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And Father God, give us an understanding of how much you love us and how much you care for us and just why you established your word in our hearts, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of you may have noticed I went scrounging around before worship was over looking for this. Because normally it sits back there with a chair. I did find the chair, but I didn't want to risk sitting down. I might not have been able to get back up. So, now because it is the Ten Commandments, I'm going to turn my Bible right side up so I don't have to read it upside down. And I'm going to try to at least read the commandments we're used to before I get started here so you'll know that I do know what they really are. But then we're going to go from there. So there's two different places we could find it. I'm going to go in Exodus 20, verse 1 through 17. And God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them to serve them, for I, the Lord, am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and to the children, to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner that's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that he has that is your neighbor's. Now that's the ones we've heard. So what's this reverse Ten Commandments? Well, the first one is, you shall have other gods before me. Now, that just doesn't sound right somehow. But I go way back to a time when I was stationed in Japan. We rented a house, and my landlord gave me a little box. And I wasn't saved at the time, by the way. Gave us a little box, had a little guy standing in the box, and that was our household idol. That was going to be our God. Wasn't my God, wasn't my wife's God. She was saved, I wasn't, but I knew better than to do that. We put the thing under the sink in a cabinet where we wouldn't have to look at it. But nowadays, I think we do have some other gods. What's a God but something that you put first in your life? Now, God blessed us with a new car a few years ago, and I pray that never becomes our God. I don't think it has been. I don't think it is. I don't think it was. But how many people worship a car, a house, a big screen TV? I'd like to have a bigger screen, even though the one I got's plenty big. But things in this earth, we can't look at those and make them our God, can we? But do we? We watch advertising on TV, and they really make you want to have whatever that is they're advertising. How wonderful it is, how big and bright the TV is, how shiny the new car is. You know, everybody in this world drives a used car. You know that? As soon as you go off the lot, it's not a new car anymore. If you don't believe me, drive it off the lot, go around a block, and bring it back and tell them, I want to give this back to you. And check, see how much of it they'll give you. No. They'll give you a trade-in on it. We take our new car in to get it serviced, and every time they do, they want to sit us down with a salesman and show us how much they'd give us on that new car as a trade. And I say, that thing's worth a lot more than that to us because we don't have a payment on it. We got it paid off. That in itself's a blessing, but it's not a God. I'm not going to bow down to that thing. But yet, I know people that I used to take an older lady back in those days. She was younger than I am now, but in those days, she was an older lady to me. Her daughter and her son-in-law, she lived with them, but they couldn't make time to take her to church because they were both working two jobs to pay for the car, the house, the boat, and all these things. They had a camper. They never went camping because they couldn't both get off at the same time with both of them working two jobs to pay for all that stuff. So they had to depend on somebody at the church to come and get their mom and take her to church because they couldn't do it. Well, what was God there? How many people do we know here? I know none of us do that, but how many people do we know who have no time left over because they're trying to pay for all the little gods that they've got? You know, so what is your God? If it gets in the way of coming to church, if it gets in the way of having time with your family, if it gets in the way of even worshiping the Lord himself, then that's your God. So there are gods that we might have before us. And that's what the world says is the first commandment. You shall have other gods. And we're going to present them to you everywhere you look. And all you got to do is bow down and worship them. Well, that's not really God. But a God is what you put before the Lord God. So that's the first of the world's reverse commandments. You shall have other gods before me. Now the second one's kind of like that. You shall make for yourself an idol. Now I don't think any of us have carved out a statue and set it up or made a gold calf, set it up on our dining room table or whatever to worship. But that there are some things that we might bow down to. By the way, that idol that our landlord gave us as a gift, we got rid of it. After I got saved, by the way, I didn't get rid of it right away. It was a gift. It stayed under covers. You know, we didn't have it out in public. But we took it from Japan with us when we came back to the States because it was kind of cool. It's a little Japanese idol. A little Buddha kind of looking thing. Goofy looking dude. But, you know, this landlord thought he was doing us a favor, giving us an idol for our house. He had idols in his house. I guess we probably did too, but they weren't the little statue. They might have been once again, nice big TV. Well, my first TV was a 13-inch. It's far cry from a big screen. The funny thing is, I owned that thing for 3 years before I ever made a payment on it. Because Sears kept telling me, we'll give you 1 year free, no payments, no interest. And I thought, this is crazy. I had the thing repaired twice before I ever paid for it. And I finally thought, how much longer is this going to go on? I'm going down there and pay for it, which I did. It was really expensive too. It was $89. But I had it 3 years before we paid for it. I don't think I really worshipped it. I kind of got close enough to see the screen, but no, it's no. It, you know, this says make an idol. What I read in the original Ten Commandments was making a graven image or a carved image or some kind of an image. But it doesn't have to be a statue, because whatever we put before us and devote our time and our energy and our money to, that's an idol. It's kind of like a god. Like the children of Israel that made the golden calf because they got impatient for Moses to come back down off the mountain. They said, well, this is our god, this golden calf. Well, what is the golden calf's, what's the idols that people in this day and age set up before them? What are we really worshiping? It's not God, then it's an idol. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be an image. It doesn't have to be a statue. It could be a house. It could be a car. It could be that big screen TV. It could be whatever we devote our time and energy to. It could even be a job. You know, I think I know some people who worship their job as if the job was what actually provides for them, when in reality, it's God that provides for us. Because a job can go away like that. Now, I've been blessed. Cindy couldn't figure out how, in my entire working life, I've had three jobs. In high school, I worked for my uncle during the summer. I made 75 cents an hour. I carried cement blocks and mixed mortar, when I graduated high school, I joined the Navy. I planned on going to electronic school, getting out and getting a job. Well, I joined the Navy, went to electronic school, then I went to another school, then I went to another school, and then instead of getting out like I thought I was going to, I re-enlisted and went to some more schools. And then I did some more things. And then I did some more things. And I went to some more schools. And I re-enlisted again. And first thing I know, I was eligible to retire. And that was based on what I thought I was going to do 4 years and be out. I tell people nowadays, the reason it took so long is it took longer to train me than it does most people. But when I got out, I had experience and I got a job. And I worked at that job for 27 years. And then I turned around and I said, I'm in my 60s. I can retire. So I gave 2 years' notice. You know, some people give 2 weeks' notice. I gave 2 years' notice so they'd have time to train somebody to replace me. So maybe in a way, I was looking at that job might have been a little god to me. Because I kind of thought sometimes that, hey, you know, that was my source, but it wasn't. God gave me the ability to do that job. He gave me the strength to, I told people I was a professional weightlifter because I worked for a scale company. And my job involved carrying weights around, anything from 50-pound weights up to 500-pound weights up to 2,000-pound weights. Now, I didn't pick those up. I had a crane to do that with. But still, God gave me the ability to learn that, to do that job. And He could have taken it from me at any minute. I've got a scar down the middle of my chest because I had quadruple bypass while I worked for that company. And yet He protected my heart to the point where I never had a heart attack. I just got dizzy. And I got dizzy enough that I wised up and called 911 on myself while I was on my way to a job. And they came out and got me off the interstate, ran a bunch of tests on me, and decided, man, you need heart surgery. So, no damage. Thank you, lights. Okay, we're going to get that fixed eventually. But God gave me the ability to do those jobs and to do that thing and to learn the skills I needed for that. It wasn't my doing, and it wasn't anything that dwelt in me other than the Holy Spirit. So God was the one that I needed to be placing my trust in, placing my faith in. And I thank God right now that He did bring me through all that. So, make yourself an idol. Let me tell you, whatever is your idol, it's no way, shape, or form going to measure up to what God can do if you put Him first. I used to wear a belt buckle that said, take time for Jesus. He took time for you. And that allowed me to do a lot of testimonies while I was working on those various scales and different environments. A lot of people saw that, and that opened the door where I was able to share with it. But if I had been trusting in the job, I'd been wearing a belt buckle my mother-in-law gave me at the time that said, I'm an electrician. And I was never an electrician. But, you know, I did have, you know, Jesus did take time for me, so I had to take time for Him. So make for yourself an idol, or shall we have no gods before Him? Now here's one that I hear so much in the world that it's absolutely for sure what the world takes as the third commandment. The third commandment, according to the world, is you shall take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I was watching a stupid little, you know, these dumb home videos that they show on TV that you laugh about. And I heard this little girl, she couldn't have been more than, I'm going to say 3 or 4. And she was all excited about what she was getting for Christmas. And she ran through the house yelling, oh my God, oh my God. You know, taking the Lord's name in vain doesn't necessarily mean you're swearing. It means using His name as just something you say. How many people do we know in this world that don't think twice about using God's name as not necessarily a swear word, but just something to add emphasis to what they're trying to say? That is taking His name in vain. It means not attributing to Him His rightful place as God, as ruler, as creator, as the one who made the universe and everything in it. It's just dismissing Him as nothing. That's what it means to take His name in vain. It means to use God's name in a way that doesn't bring glory to Him, doesn't bring honor to Him, doesn't show worship to Him. That's taking it in vain. And that is what the world says is the commandment. Go ahead and do it. Doesn't matter. He's just God. And you know, God's just, well, He's just a handy word to say when you want to make an emphasis. Well, He's a lot more than that. He made everything that we see, everything we hear, everything we feel. He made it all. And so, since He made it in 6 days, and He took the seventh day off, He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, the world says, forget it. Sabbath is nothing. Now, I'm looking around. I'm probably not the oldest person in this room, but I'm real close to it. And I can remember when you couldn't buy a candy bar on Sunday because stores weren't open. It was law in the town I grew up in. Nowadays they call them blue laws. They did for a while. And then finally they started opening a convenience store here and there so that you could go buy something you needed. You know, get some milk, some eggs, you know, something you needed. Well, okay. Couldn't do that the other 6 days. You had to wait until Sunday. So they had to open the store then. And then before long, now you go through town, everything's open on Sunday. Now I know Sunday's not the Sabbath. And I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I know that the Sabbath was Saturday. If you look at your calendars, you see Sunday's the first day of the week. Even the scripture says that the church met on the first day of the week because they didn't even want to have church on the Sabbath, because in the Bible time they were so strict about the Sabbath that you couldn't walk more than so many feet, so many steps, so many paces from your house on the Sabbath day, or was considered breaking the Sabbath. I don't remember the exact amount, but it was something like 100 feet. If you left your house more than 100 feet, you were breaking the Sabbath. They took it seriously. Nowadays, it's just another day. It's just another day. We were encouraged by God to remember that even He rested one day in seven. And He encouraged us to, because He realized we also need rest. Now, every job I ever had, I had worked different days of the week, different shifts. I was on call 24/7 for 27 years I was on call. She got fed up with the fact that there were companies that thought my home phone was our office number. I was in another state working a job, and some idiot called the house and chewed her out because she couldn't get a hold of me to have me come and work on their scale. I kid you not. Talk about putting something ahead of God. I'm going back. That's the world's mindset. Chewed my wife out when she told him he's in another state working. I can't get a hold of him. Oh, you're lying to me. Bless her heart. When I found out about that, I went to my office. I said, you get my phone number off that answering machine. You know, that answering machine is not to give out my phone number anymore. If you want me on call like that, get me a pager. That's before we had cell phones. So everybody got a pager. And we set up a schedule for who would answer the pager on each day. So it worked out. But still, you shall forget the Sabbath day. Have we? Yeah. Yeah. We have. We all have. That's what the world thinks is the commandment. Just forget it. It doesn't matter. It's not important. After all, it's only because God said so. And we've already said God doesn't matter. He does. He matters. Now, the fifth commandment, we've thrown this out. You've heard the term, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Well, this one's different. The fifth commandment was all honor your father and mother. And if you read it the way I did earlier, it says that you may have a long life. Do you realize that elsewhere in the Bible, in the Old Testament law, if a child was disobedient to their parents, they didn't honor their father and mother, the parents were instructed to stone them. You want to talk about having a long life in the days of the Ten Commandments when they were taken seriously. If a child mouthed off to mom, dad could bust that kid. He could kill him. Honor. You want to live long? Honor. Nah. Our society now says, dishonor him. Instead of the parents having the authority over the kids. Now, it seems like we see the kids are killing their parents. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to obey my parents. I'm not going to honor my father and mother. They give me a hard time. I'll just go kill them. We read or hear or on the news or see in the news children who have, even adult children who have turned around and killed their parents because of whatever. Now, I'm not saying every parent has done a good job. I know I made a lot of mistakes in my parenting. But so far, my kids haven't tried to kill me. And I hope they don't because, you know, I'm enjoying being around. But in this day and age, it is nothing to hear kids mouth off, back talk, disrespect their parents. And in the generation that I grew up in, and it hadn't been too many years ago when it was fairly common for kids to say yes sir, no sir, to respect their parents, to show them at least pay lip service to respect. Because you just didn't get away with that kind of stuff. So, dishonor your father and mother, that's the world's idea. And that's what we live with. Now, in my old King James Bible, the next commandment in the original 10 says, thou shalt not kill. And that was not a very good translation of the original language, because the original language said, you shall not murder. Because a lot of times in the Old Testament, the Israelites were instructed to kill people. Kill these, kill those, kill them. In war, if someone was a murderer, kill them. So the commandment is, you shall not murder. That means kill illegally, kill in a wrong way, kill with a matter of attitude. So today's version of that's, go ahead and kill them. Murder. You shall murder. You don't like what they're doing? Kill them. You don't like the way he looked at you? Pull out your gun and shoot him. Guy bumped into you and didn't say, excuse me? Bash his head in with a baseball bat. We hear it. We see it. It's in the news. You know, a few years ago, Detroit was the number one murder capital of the United States. And about 20 some years ago, Washington, D.C. took over. And you know, the news in Detroit was celebrating the fact that they weren't number one anymore. They were celebrating the fact that now they were number two. We're not the most murdering city. We're number two. I hear Columbus talking about how they're celebrating that, well, we're not killing as many people this year as we did a couple of years ago. Still killing way too many. How many's too many? I'm going to say one. Because it says, but the world says, go ahead and kill them. They're just taking up space. They're not important. Since God isn't important, why is his creation important? He made this person. Doesn't matter. They're not important. They're riffraff. Yeah. Just go ahead and kill them. Okay, well, here's one I hope doesn't apply. The next commandment, you shall commit adultery. Ouch. Now, adultery is a lot more than just having sex with somebody. You realize that Jesus said, now he's talking to men, but I think it applies to women too. If you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Adultery starts in here. In here, within. It doesn't require a physical act. It's a violation of another person, whether they even know about it or not. But, hey, when I was younger, watching TV, even couples who had a TV show who were playing married couple and were actually a married couple slept in separate beds. I'm remembering Ozzie and Harriet. They were married. Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were married. You never saw them in bed together. Nowadays, Joe Schmuck and his work friend, after work, they're pulling each other's clothes off and jumping in bed. And it's right in your face. So, yeah, the world's commandment for this is, go ahead, doesn't matter. It's just consenting adults, you know. It's whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. I heard that when I was a teenager. If it feels good, do it. Tells you what generation I grew up in. Because that was going around. If it feels good, do it. Well, it might feel good. I don't know. Doesn't, after a while. There's none. But that's what the world says. Go ahead. Doesn't matter. Go ahead and commit adultery. Never mind if you've got a wife and kids. What they don't know won't hurt them. Sure it will. Because it won't stop there. So what happens in your heart, in your mind, eventually is going to manifest some way. And here's another one that the world likes. You shall steal. You know, it's got to the point now where if you steal something, well, it depends on how much it was and who you stole it from. You know, you could steal money from a mom and pop store. Well, they got insurance. No, they probably can't afford insurance. And besides, if you take $20, doesn't matter. Meanwhile, we look at people who steal thousands of dollars from a group of people. How many times have we heard of somebody that's embezzled from their company's retirement fund? Happens. That's stealing. I had a really warped idea about this stealing thing when I was a kid. I remember I had nightmares over this, and I'm going to tell you something that not a lot of people have heard. maybe I might have told Cindy, when I was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, I was walking home one day from somewhere, and I saw this piece of rope in a yard hanging over the fence, and I wanted that rope, and I took it. A stupid little 6 or 7 foot piece of rope. I had nightmares. That rope hung me. That rope tied me up. A couple of weeks of nightmares, I ended up taking that rope back to that yard and throwing it back over the fence because it scared me. I knew it was wrong. And I knew it was wrong because my dad let me know. He didn't have a board of education, but he had a way of applying something to the seal of learning. Let me know. And my dad was blind, but he knew what I was doing in the next room. I don't know how. To this day, I don't know how. My little sister that shows is coming here nowadays, she was sharing the other day. She says, I do not know how Dad, whose eyes in the front of his head were blind, could see what I was doing out of the back of his head. Same dad, same talent. But no, stealing's wrong. Now, so I'm not gonna elaborate. We know what stealing is. Stealing is taking something that doesn't belong to you. No, I'm okay. So, since we know you're supposed to steal, the next one obviously is you must lie. Thou shalt lie. I read an article not long ago that said they have been unable to do any kind of a survey to determine just how frequently people lie. So you know why? Because people lie about lying. Imagine that. How in the world could you think that somebody would lie about lying? I have a cousin, and we've never really got along because they always, that particular branch of the family, always seemed to think they were better than the rest of us. And maybe they were. I mean, a couple of them are lawyers, and, you know, their dad worked for a living just like the rest of us. He was a mailman, but they just kind of had the air. Well, one of those cousins was an IRS agent, and he told me point blank right to my face, you cheat on your taxes. I says, I do not. He says, if anything, I pay more than I should. He says, well, that's cheating. I said, what? He says, everybody cheats on their taxes. Well, that combines two things. That's lying and stealing. You know, if I owe this much to the IRS, then I should pay it. And if I try to conceal it and try to lie about it, that's wrong too. But everybody lies. And to prove it, we can't tell you how many times a day the average person lies because they lie about it. So tell me that's not one of the world's commandments now. You shall lie. My golly, I'm looking at my watch. We've made it to number 10. We've made it to number 10. You know what number 10 says? It says, thou shalt not covet. Well, the world's commandment is, go ahead and covet. Thou shalt covet. Your neighbor's got a new house. You'd like to have that house. Go ahead and wish you had it. Oh, I wish I had that. I've heard people say, well, I wish I had what you have. I had a guy that I worked with. Now this, I'm a high school graduate. Praise God for that. I'm glad I made it through. I graduated 295th out of a class of 298. So I made it. I got a diploma, a home, and a lockbox to prove that I made it. This young man that I worked with went to college, had a BSEE degree. That's a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering. And he said, "Chuck, I wish I knew what you know. I wish I could do what you can do." I says, "Jerry, you've got a degree in electrical engineering, and you're saying you wish you could do what I do?" He says, "You've taken college courses in computer programming, and you wish you could program like I do?" He says, "You know how I learned to program?" He says, "I went in my little back room after the family was in bed, and I sat there and worked at it. And I studied at it. And I practiced and I did it." He said, "Yeah, but I can't do that. I got a wife and kids." I said, "Jerry, I got a wife and kids." He said, "Yeah, but I can't." "As long as you can't, you won't." And, you know, he wanted what I had. Now, I understand that because there's been a lot of times in my life when I've wanted something that somebody else had. And the fact of the matter is, if I'm honest with myself, the reason I didn't have it is because I wasn't willing to make the effort that they made to get it. And that's just the truth about me. Because deep down inside, where it really counts, I'm lazy. I do what I want to do. I do what I like to do. And I learned the electronics because I like it. I learned the computer stuff I learned because I liked it. And it came fairly easy to me because God gave me a gift in that area. And I appreciate that because I know it's not me. Otherwise, I would have graduated maybe a little higher in my graduating class. Maybe I would have done my homework. Maybe I would have turned in the homework that I didn't do. No, I wouldn't have done any better on the test because I always did good on tests. It's the only way I graduated. Because I could pass the test. I had one teacher ask, "How come you can get up and go over the homework with the class and then not have any to turn in because you didn't do it?" I said, "Well, for one thing, the first couple of weeks of this class on my study halls, I sat down and I outlined your book. And so I went over the homework off my outline because outlining was something I enjoyed. That's why I flunked English." I flunked English because I argued with the teacher over stuff. My sophomore English teacher told me at the end of the school year, after I graduated, I went back to see her. And she said, "You know, back when we got in that argument about outlining that sentence," she says, "you know, you were right." I says, "I know. I wouldn't argue with you if I hadn't been right." And we went round and round. I loved that woman, but I wasn't going to let her get away with something that I knew I was right on. Bullheaded? That's me. So anyway, covet? Yeah. I'm guilty. Every one of these things in here, I got to say, probably guilty of. I remember a president who I said was a very good man. He was not a very good president, but he was a very good man. He went on TV and announced that he had committed adultery in his heart more than once. Well, I'm not going to point any fingers because they'd all point back at me. But I think it's fair to say that if we're honest with ourselves and with others, we probably have. We've probably coveted something. Coveting just means that you, instead of being happy when a friend of yours gets blessed with something good, you say, why'd he get it and I didn't? It just means wanting what somebody else has without being willing to work for it like they did. Well, okay, so I said this wasn't really an end of the year and it wasn't a new year thing, but I think it kind of is, because now that I've shared this, it convinces me that I need to take an evaluation of myself about which set of commandments I'm going to try to submit to. The world's or God's? You know, Jesus left us with one commandment. I've got it marked here. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to quote it. He said, a new commandment I leave you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I'll tell you what, if I love you like he loved me, then I'm not going to want what you have. I'm not going to steal it from you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to commit adultery with you. I'm not going to do any of these things to you, because I want to love you the way Christ loved me. And he loved me unconditionally. He said, I know what kind of a low life you've been all your life, but I love you anyway, and I went to the cross for you. So now, if you don't know Jesus in that way, if you don't realize that he loved you so much that he gave his life for you, you know, he did not want to go to the cross. He asked his Father, if there's any way you can do this without me doing this, then please. He says, but nevertheless, because I love you and I love them, I'm willing. So if you don't know Jesus in that way, I invite you right now to, as Tom says, accept him as leader and forgiver of your life, to say you're God and I'm not. Believe that he gave his life for you. Believe that he suffered, died on the cross, that you could have eternal life.